Ignite your potential and fuel your fire within. I am Ryan Stevens, and I'm here to help you own your spark with the Catalyzing Podcast. Let's do this. We are back with another episode of the Catalyzing Podcast, and I'm so excited to be featuring one of my favorite organizations today, the Somerset Patriots, the AA affiliate of the New York Yankees, longtime relationship with the club, and just the leadership there, the club culture. It's just a really amazing thing to be around, and I'm happy to have Brian Awicki on the show today. Brian is the Vice President of Operations for the Somerset Patriots. Brian, it's so great to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I was really honored that you asked me to do this. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad to have a conversation. And, you know, before we get into the topic of, you know, the overall concept of this is really navigating full-time and seasonal employees, the different dynamics there, as well as how the employee experience shapes the fan or the customer experience. But before we get into that, give us a little background of your leadership journey through. You've been there since the beginning with the Somerset Patriots. Kind of, you know, was there anything before that, and kind of what's led you to shape your leadership approach?
Yeah, I mean, I've been fairly fortunate to work for family-owned and operated businesses my entire life, and started off working, you know, for when I was 14, I started working for a jeweler. I thought that's what I wanted to do when my dad was a jeweler. And, you know, I thought that was going to be the way I wanted to go. And then I decided to, you know, that wasn't really where I wanted to do. And I started working for really super awesome people at a place called Sneakers Plus down in Flemington, and Chris and Fran Gackets. And Chris kind of became my mentor, and I worked for him for like 9.5 years, all through high school, college. And then I had gotten to know Steve Calfer very well, and Josh and Jonathan, who are our current chairman and co-chairman, through that kind of journey there. And Steve had come to me one day, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze at the store one day, and he said, hey, what are you looking to do, you know, with yourself? And I'm like, geez, I don't know, you know, I'm kind of, you know, looking for jobs. And, you know, I had graduated college and was getting ready to potentially stay with the retail thing. And Steve said, you know, I had always been with Steve for, you know, he's one of my customers at the store forever and ever. Mm-hmm. He used to shop. And one of the things that Steve always told me that he loved about me was every time he found a pair of shoes that he liked, I'd say, well, you should buy two because, you know, you never know if they're going to be there again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always loved my upselling ability. So he said, you know, and I, at the time, and God, we were, you know, young kids, and Chris and Fran were trusting me, you know, to lock up in their store. And, you know, I had keys and was a manager, and, you know, so from, I guess, a young age, I was pretty lucky. I was always in a kind of a leadership role and a management role. And Steve had said, hey, listen, I've got a potential opportunity. We're having some issues with some customer service things at the ballpark. Would love to, I think you'd be a great fit for it. And we're happened to just be sitting there with Chris as well. And Chris looked at me and said, hey, you'd be stupid if you don't, you know, explore this opportunity. You know, a great leader, you know, basically saying like, hey, you know, don't let this opportunity go. This could be good for you. So he kind of understood that, which is kind of rare. You know, a lot of times, yeah, you know, somebody would sit there and be like, oh no, don't do that. You know, I want to keep you. So I did, and I explored it, and, you know, I kind of showed up to help, you know, fix the ticket office a little bit. And, you know, that was kind of my original goal, you know, here at the, you know, at the Patriots. And, I guess I did a pretty good job because I've been here for 25 years. So they kept me around, and I was fortunate. I got promoted along the way. I worked really hard. You know, I had, basically I was that guy that, you know, I volunteered to do all the little extra things and, you know, work all the extra hours. I pretty much did not have much of a life at all. When I first started there, as you know, the sports industry is very demanding, lots of hours, especially from your days as a hands-on trainer, you know, it's a lot. So yeah, from there, I was fortunate enough to kind of, you know, learn, and I made a point to learn everything that I could learn in the sports industry while I was there. And about 10 years in, after being the vice president of ticketing for the ballpark, I became the vice president of operations, basically took over, you know, pretty much everything, you know, if it happens at the ballpark, I have a hand in it. That's kind of the easiest way I explain my job. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is leading, you know, is leadership. It's talking to, it's dealing with people. You know, we manage a huge amount of people at the ballpark, employee wise. So, and I like to say that my style of leadership is what's kind of kept me around. And I think, you know, part of the success that we have is I've learned from some really, really great people. You know, Chris and Steve and Patrick, our president and general manager. I'm very fortunate to have a lot of great mentors to help me shape my leadership style.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that sticks out about the culture there of the workplace is, you know, the leaders are approachable, they're personable, you and the rest of the team there and Pat just, you know, open a conversation. It's not a, you know, you're sitting up here in your ivory tower and everyone else is doing their jobs. It's very much connected. And you know, it was really awesome doing the workshop with your staff a few months ago. I really saw it firsthand. Many of them I've known already over the years, but many also I haven't known, and just seeing that connectedness there and that passion, it was really awesome. And you know, everyone in that workshop was your full time. They're year round with you, and there's dynamics to leading that. And then there's also dynamics to leading those seasonal. In minor league baseball, you kind of have two phases of the year. You have your off season and your in season. You know, first with your year round employees, what are some things that you, with the Somerset Patriots, you and any other leaders there, have done to promote a supportive culture of working together to navigate those ebbs and flows that happen when you're grinding heavy hours and then when you pull back a little bit kind of year round? What are some strategies that you've used to build that culture and gain buy-in from those year round staff?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we're fortunate. We have a great team. So we have, you know, Patrick is our president and general manager. There's myself. We've got a couple of other long-term guys that we're all like, I guess we're called the VP group. So it's, you know, it's me and Dave and Mark and Matt, and we all have a little bit of a different thing that we're primarily responsible for. I'm kind of the weird guy that I have a little bit of everything responsible for, kind of like Patrick too, but it's good because we all work together and people can come to us for different things. So it's not, they don't always have to come to the same one of us for something, which is good. You know, and honestly, we're always available and we try to make ourselves available, and that's our goal. You know, is to, you know, be there. You'll see if you come to the office, my door is rarely closed. The only time I close it if I have to be on a call that I need it quiet for. But past that, you know, even a lot of times if I'm on calls, I try to keep the door open, you know, and you know, I keep an eye on what's going on. If anybody needs me for anything, I'm available for them. And I try to make sure that they all know that, like, you know, if you have a question, no question is stupid. I tell that to my ops guys when they come in every year, like, you know, hey, I may assume that you know what I'm talking about, but you know, and if you don't, please ask. Like, you know, that's the big thing. It's like asking questions and not being afraid of me. Like, I'm never going to bite your head off. I'm never going to tell you that you're stupid. I'm never going to say like, oh, that's a dumb question. You know, I'm going to give you the answer that you need. It's kind of like that Disney mentality. You know, they have that question that they get, and they always use this as a great example. And they say, hey, could you tell me what time the 3 o'clock parade is? Well, you know, the natural inclination is to answer with a wise guy remark and say 3 o'clock, but you know, you have to learn sometimes there's other things that they're asking, and it's kind of like that mentality. You know, it's like, what do you think they're really asking? And it's just kind of like easing back into it and just kind of not making somebody feel stupid.
That's a really important part of leadership. I'm glad you mentioned that, Brian, is you never know what's going on in someone else's mind. You never know what their background or experience is. And when they asked you a question like that, what time is the 3 o'clock parade? You're right. The natural inclination to be like, what are you talking about? It's 3 o'clock. You just said it. Like, you know, that's what our like brain thinks, but you have to put that filter on and be like, no, don't say that. Say, well, you know, excited to have you there. It starts right at 3 o'clock. Like, you, who knows? They didn't realize they even said the 3 o'clock meeting, you know, but like, you
they may want to know where is the 3 o'clock.
Exactly. Rate, not they're not asking the question properly. So, you know, how else may I help you? What else can I answer for you about the 3 o'clock parade? You know, so you're right. We have to be empathetic as leaders. And I've seen that firsthand with you and the rest of the leadership team at the Patriots, with being empathetic to the challenges and struggles that you go through with the ebbs and flows of the season. I'm sure that's really important as you get to late July, August, September. That's a little, tell us about that phase, because that's you've been growing and the season's lingering on, you know?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this too. And I think I even asked you this in your leadership thing. I said, you know, there's definitely those times where we all get a little bit cranky, you know, and it's like, you get a question. It's like, you know, do I really, you know, like, why are you asking me this question right now? It's like, you kind of have to put that aside and be like, you know, and be like, okay, you know, like if I'm having a bad day, I'm cranky, I can't take it out on somebody else. You know, I need to be supportive, you know, no matter what's going on. You know, and that's the most important thing. And I think it's just trying to take yourself a step back when you're feeling that crankiness during the day, or, you know, in the middle of July when it's 100 degrees and we've just worked 15 straight days without a day off. And it's just a matter of, you know, still having that same even keel of getting to, you know, to somebody. You know, does it always work 100%? No. Listen, you know, it's you know, I'm not gonna lie and say like, hey, I'm perfect, and you know, I definitely have some cranky moments, but I try to minimize those and I try to realize it. And you know, if I do have a cranky moment, I'll forewarn somebody and just be like, hey, listen, I'm a little cranky today, all right? I didn't don't take any offense to anything that I'm saying today, or something like that. You know, I'll kind of preface, you know, like, hey, you know, I'll tell my guys, you know, like, hey, I'm having a little bit of a rough day today. I need you guys to pick up the slack for me a little bit today and, you know, help me out a little. So, you know, which is good, because we all have a team, and everybody, you know, if you're a good leader, when you're having those bad days, somebody's going to come pick you up, you know, and they're going to be that, you know, they're going to come in and help you out and say like, hey, you know what, you're having a bad day. Hey, if there's what can I do to take some of the load off of your, off your plate today? And that's important. You know, it's just getting the right people underneath you to, you know, be able to, you know, follow you and kind of help you when you need help.
That's a crucial point, is that, you know, you have to have that shared accountability and that atmosphere of, if I need support today, I have people that can give me that. And it's also okay to say that you need support versus shielding it. And of course, you know, when you're in customer service, forward facing, you got to have that smile on for the fans, of course. And you know, but when you're behind the scenes or you're working in ops or whatnot, it's okay as a leader to be a little vulnerable with your team and say, I'm just not feeling it today. You know, I'm at a 50 out of 100.
Right.
Is anyone that can help with this? And that's okay. And that's where great teams thrive in those stressful moments, is when they can come together and navigate that. I'm sure it's a little more challenging though with the seasonal employees, because they are just there for a short amount of time. What is it? Probably like, you know, March, April, until like the end of the season.
Like April, October.
You know, so like, what unique challenges do you face with the onboarding of all of those seasoned employees, and as well as getting them to buy in and demonstrate that culture that you have with the full-timers established?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because like, you know, we have just on the event staff side of things, we have 120 or so seasonal employees that range from 16 years old to, you know, 75 years old. You know, and it's everybody's different. You know, there's all different personalities that you're dealing with. There's all different walks of life, and who, you know, people have different comprehension skills on different things. So yeah, it's a challenge, but you know, I think we do a pretty good job of kind of getting everybody on the same page, and that's important. That's our job as a team. You know, myself, and I've got two great guys that help me with the event staff, and Matt and James, and then I've got a bunch of supervisors that work, that have been there for a long time as well. And you know, we're all a team. We all, you know, work with those folks to help manage those things. And yeah, it's a challenge, because, you know, again, you have to talk to like you have to talk to a 16-year-old a little bit differently than you're talking to, you know, the 45-year-old, and sometimes different than the 75-year-old. I mean, they're, you know, and it's showing everybody that respect, you know, and again, getting everybody on board, with, you know, with that is tough. You know, you know, I think we do a pretty good job with it. Very rarely would I say that we have any major issues, you know, with getting everybody to kind of buy into the customer service. You know, we kind of pose our jobs as, hey, this is your fun part-time job. This isn't the job that's going to make you rich. It's, you know, this is what you should do to come and have a great time, and be that way. And we tell them the same thing that we tell ourselves. You know, if you're having a bad day, hey, leave it at home, come to the ballpark. This is your fun place. This is your happy place. And people pretty much buy into that, which is great. You know, and people are very good. And we tell people, like, hey, listen, same thing. If you're having a bad day, hey, just tell one of us, tell one of the supervisors, something's going on at home. You know, let us know. If we need to help you, we need to support you. We need to, you know, you need to step out for a phone call at some point during the game. Something's going on. You have you know, somebody's not feeling well at home, whatever. Let us know. And I think people appreciate the fact that you're supportive of those things. And again, they buy into that. You know, if you're helping support those folks, and being a resource, and, like, you know, we could easily just say, like, hey, this is a part-time job. If you don't like our rules, take it or leave it. You know, go find someplace else to work. But, you know, we're pretty flexible. And then, you know, we also have, it's on the food service side of things, we also have another 200 plus employees on food service side. And, you know, food service is really difficult. It's a hard industry. So, you know, and it's the same thing. It's managing all different types of personalities there. And I think, you know, we have a great team in our concessions department that really takes care of, you know, managing that. You know, Mike, Jimmy, Allie, Kelly, you know, like all of our support staff, or all of our front office on our catering side of things, they do a great job with handling all those different personalities and all the challenges of scheduling, and, you know, who can't work and who can work and who's calling out, or who, you know, so it's a lot. That's a full-time job in itself on top of our full-time jobs.
And it's also a unique aspect where you have a lot of rotating high school, you know, high school groups that come in and do work at the different concession stands. So I've seen firsthand with Mike and his team down there at the games, loading around and making sure that they're doing what needs to be done, but, like, being supportive, not in a dictator way, but, like, being supportive, because these are kids and they're not there every game. They're there for, like, a homestand or whatever. And so getting them to buy in, part of that is the fact that you and your leadership team are so supportive with your approach that it makes them feel comfortable that it's okay if I make a mistake. I learn from it and then I fix it, you know, and then you're not reprimanding them. You know, you're supporting them, and that's so crucial. And the fans see that as well too, I'm sure. You know, real quick before we get to our next question, do you have an idea of, like, your seasonal employees, what percentage are repeat coming back year to year versus, like, how much turnover you have with new people having to come in?
For sure. Yeah. I would say that every year, you know, at least on the event staff side of things, we probably retain about 80 to 85% of our employees from year to year. I've got employees that have been with me. I've got a lot of employees that have been 10 plus, 15 mm-hmm. plus, 20 plus years. I still have, let's see, one, I think we still have six employees that were there the opening day of the ballpark back in 99. You know, so it's pretty cool. You know, when you have that, you know, that group of folks that's able to stick around for so long. And that's what helps too, because when people come and they see, and even on the food service side of things, we've got kids that have worked for us for years, you know, 5, 10 mm-hmm. plus years. And when people see that, and, you know, they start looking around and saying, hey, man, I see the same faces all the time. This is a cool place to work. You know, it's like, that's a plus.
You know, the season ticket holders keep seeing the same people over and over every year. Like, hey, and to be able to do that with seasonal employees is really impressive, because that's a part time. Like you said, it's not their primary job; it's their other job. It's their escape for a lot of them. I'm sure you also have situations where the seasonal employees, the part timers, the temps, are helping to onboard the newcomers and the next generation. Like, I'm sure that's happening as well too. So they have a leadership aspect to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of supervisory roles that we have in place. And, you know, when people are around for X amount of years, they become supervisors. And, you know, and that's what helps us, you know, and, you know, really, you know, most of our stuff is on the job training. So, you know, we do orientations and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and we have handbooks and everything, but you really don't know what you're getting into until you really get there and start working. Mm-hmm. And it's great when I know that I can start a new employee and I can just bring them out and I just hand them off to the supervisors. I'm like, hey, you know, take care of this person, and they've got it and I don't have to worry about it.
Yep. And you trust them to do what needs to be done, which is awesome.
Yeah. 100%.
How do you see the link between employee satisfaction and employee experience being positive, being high, and customer fan satisfaction, you know, the internal raving fans on your team helping to make external raving fans, the customers, the fans coming in? What link do you see there, and how, with the Somerset Patriots, how does that carry over to the employee experience matching the fan experience?
That's huge. Because if you don't like your job, you're going to show it. You know, that's probably one of the most important things that we can do is, you know, when people come in, one of the big things that we get when we do surveys is that comes back, we always get, your employees are always happy. You know, they're always smiling. They're always greeting us when they come in. And that's important, because if they're not buying into their job, they're not going to buy into the customer service experience. You know, if they are not enjoying themselves, if they don't like us for some reason, they're not going to be pleasant to the fans. So that's a huge thing. So if you come to the ballpark as a fan, you're going to see our ushers greeting you and talking to you and having a conversation and being happy, smiling when you come through the door, asking you how your day is. You know, that's important, because, you know, when people come in, they appreciate that. And, you know, that's a huge part of that customer service experience. And then, you know, our folks are approachable. You know, one of the big things that we have an issue with all the time is, you know, as you know, it's like this, the culture of, you know, of this, it's the cell phone, right? I don't know if you can see it through my background, right? It's the cell phone. Everybody wants to have their cell phone in their hand. Well, we always tell our employees, like, hey, you got to put that cell phone down. You do not take that out while you're here at work, because I don't want you sitting on your cell phone and not paying attention, because then what's going to happen is, you know, customers are going to see that and they're going to see you staring at your cell phone, not paying attention to what's going on around you. And that's important, because if you're, you know, you have to be engaged with your job. I say, give me the 4 hours that you're here. You get a 15 minute break. You want to go check your cell phone in that 15 minute break? Great. But in the meantime, you know, put it on vibrate, leave it in the ticket office or leave it in the employee break room or wherever you might be. Just don't even bring it in your pocket. And, you know, and that's important, because you have to have that customer experience, and you have to have that, you know, you have to have that excitement for the employees, because when the fans feel that, they're like, wow, this is a great place. You know, it's not just a great place for them to work, that they see that it's a great place to work. The fans now are like, hey, this is a great place to come watch a game, because everyone's really friendly and helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, and this is probably more along the lines of Nick's realm as well, but like, your fan base is very loyal. Like, repeat ticket, season ticket holders as well too. That matches your employee retention. You know, there's a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, for sure. Sponsors, marketing partners, some group leaders, season ticket holders. I've got season ticket holders. Again, I've been with for the entire time that I've been at the ballpark for 25 seasons. You know, it's crazy, you know, and we always joke, you know, and it's not even really a joke. It's the truth. We see our fans more than we see our family in the summertime, you know, so our fans become friends. They become, you know, our second family. Same with our colleagues at work, you know, like our event staff, we kind of lovingly name it our Patriots family. You know, and that's kind of what we all are. We're all family.
We already covered a lot of ways that you have a supportive atmosphere and that you go to bat for one another as the leadership team, being, you know, cross-functional in some ways, but also with your full-time employees, being there for each other when you're having those difficult days and being your open door policy and just being supportive. What are some other specific approaches that you and the other leaders there take to build your team up, to affirm them, to celebrate them, to reinforce that internal feeling. You know, for example, yeah, I know Friday mornings you have the great sales putt, you know, whatever you call it, whoever is the top salesperson or whoever gets selected that week, they get to putt from different distances, and they can win a gift card, and then like people get along the corridor there. It's really exciting to watch that. But like, what are some other things that you do to build that up as well?
We try to do a lot of different things. We try to do a lot of different team building exercises. You know, we try to do several during the year. Like, we'll go to, we'll go to Dave and Buster's as a team, right before the season starts, we all play video games and, you know, have a good time and, you know, have some drinks and, food and everything on the team. And, just kind of a get out of work and kind of have a good time with each other before we're getting ready to start the grind. We like to do, this coming Monday, actually, we're going to DeLucia's, for pizza together. That we all set that up. DeLucia's is a big partner and big supporter of ours. So kind of a fun thing. And as you know, we do kind of a really cool, 1,000 pizza giveaway day during the season, and that they're one of the big supporters of that. So, we're doing that. We do a lot of different things together. Guys, I know guys try to go out and play golf, guys go to Rutgers games together. So, it's just a matter of doing fun things to keep the staff engaged, and then, you know, and having some of those perks, you know, like we do with, like the sales, we give away a sales star award. We're going to start utilizing the catalyzing championship belt. We have some cool ideas for that too, that we got from your seminar. So that's going to be one. And people get really behind that kind of stuff, and it's a lot of fun. And then also, like, you know, having perks like time off, you know, is a plus. You know, like, yeah. We try to keep people fresh. During the season, you know, if we work a home coming out of a homestand, we give everybody off on Monday. We, you know, get to go home at 3 on Fridays. Just little things like that just kind of shows like, hey, we're supportive, and, we're there and creating a fun culture. You know, Fridays, every Friday's bagel day. You know, we have a trade agreement with a local bagel place where we get, bagels for everybody. You know, just having little things like that around the office is really cool. And we just got these really cool new offices too. So a lot of kudos to the ownership group for investing, you know, a good amount of money for us, you know, as a staff, to make sure we have a great work environment, as well. So that's a plus too. I think, you know, people see that when your leadership is investing back in you as an employee, giving you tools to succeed, not only just the fun stuff, but also we're giving them all kinds of tools to succeed in terms of like, hey, we create proposals for people that you can go in and they're there and we give everybody, you know, if you need something, we very rarely say no, like, hey, like I needed this to help do my job better. You know, we'll do our best to make sure that we can get that, and, you know, make sure everybody's got the best equipment, the best computers, the best, you know, whatever there might be. So that way, you know, you're not walking into work every day and going, man, this sucks. My computer doesn't work right. You know, I don't want to be here. You know, all those little things add up, you know, to creating a really good work environment. And I think those are some of the things that make successful teams, not just teams in the sports sense, but teams in general of any kind of team.
And you now have sunlight in your office.
Yes.
Instead of sunlight, being in the basement.
Yeah, sunlight is vitally important to the brain, which is really nice. So it's been great. That's one thing we sorely lacked for many times, because we were in the basement, as many, right. In case people don't know about where our offices were, we were in the basement for many, many years. Just the way the ballpark was designed, which is now becoming the visiting clubhouse. So we were able to move up to kind of your old stomping grounds at the ballpark, which used to be our sports performance center. And now it's become a really beautiful office space.
It absolutely is. It's just a different, there's a good energy up there, and it's well lit. It's organized. It's just a really good move. I'm really excited for all of you. And Before we get into our final call to action that you might have for other leaders out there listening, whether they work in professional sports or not, Brian, just a couple quick notes. Again, Brian's bio is in the show notes, as well as his contact information. If you are here in the New Jersey region, I definitely invite you to come out for a game day experience. It's really an awesome opportunity to see high level double A ball, and really just an amazing game day experience that they put on for the fans. So definitely invite that. But again, your contact info will be in the show notes. I invite them to connect with you on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah.
But before we leave, for those other leaders out there that are maybe struggling with getting buy-in on their team, or maybe there's been a lot of turnover recently, or maybe they're short-staffed, from your experience, what are maybe one or two key things you think that will be the good things to focus on right now with trying to turn that around a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, there's always turnover. I mean, we're very lucky where we've had, a lot of us that have been there for a long time. But we have turnover too, just like everyone else. And I think that it's just a matter of, dealing with it. It's not easy. there's probably not a great solution to how to deal with that, but I think it's, minimizing the turnover is creating those great environments for people to want to be there. And your hope is that your turnover is that it's a good turnover, meaning that you've trained somebody to move on in their career, and you may not have a spot for them. So they may come to you and say, "Hey, listen, I've got this great opportunity to better myself going somewhere else." And you kind of feel a little bit better about that turnover. Not that it's great. You hate losing people, mm-hmm. Especially if you have somebody good. And sometimes it's hard to retain people. Yeah. And that's probably the biggest challenge that every business has, is retaining good people. And that's why we try to do all those extra little perks and try to do those things. And if people are doing well, rewarding those people, and making them feel like they're part of the team. So, when we do a sales meeting, like we've changed up our sales meetings a lot over the years, instead of it just being leadership guys just spewing out, "Hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we should be doing." We've changed that focus to making it collaborative, that all the team members can put their ideas out and really kind of take ownership of things. And I'll be honest with you, I think it's made a huge change over the last couple months that we've done that, compared to what we used to. Sales meeting used to be kind of one of those things that you'd go in and you kind of be like a dredging on of, for a half hour, and it's the same thing you're going over and doing this. And now it's like you have this nice collaborative effort. We were actually all working remotely today, and just in anticipation of potential bad weather, but it was great. We got on a Teams call this morning for the first time in a long time. We haven't done a remote sales meeting in a while, but it was fun. Like everybody kind of got on, we were all chit-chatted, and it's a little looser feeling in meetings. I think it makes things less daunting for people. And, I think those are some of the key things that I think that we've done to try to help retain, and change the culture around the ballpark. It's just getting everybody involved in the culture, and getting everybody involved in decision-making, letting them take ownership of certain things. Everyone at the ballpark has a certain responsibility that you're responsible for, and it's yours. You own it. I'll go over to Hal a lot of times. Hal is our director of marketing. He runs our on-field promotions. Just because I'm the VP doesn't mean that I have roughshod to do whatever I want. I'll go into Hal's realm and I'll say, "Hal, I've got this potential group coming out that wants to do this. Is that okay?" I don't just say, "Hey, Hal, I'm doing this." Mm-hmm. No, I go and ask him like, "Hey, is this okay to make sure that we do this? I'm checking with you," and that shows, that helps with your staff, and making them trust you that you're not just going to say, "I'm going to do whatever I want because I'm the leader." If that's somebody else's realm, hey, you go in there and give them the respect that's their realm. You gave them that responsibility. Let them run that. Maybe once in a while, there's certain things that, with some of the younger guys that have been, that have been there, that if they have something, we may make suggestions to them, suggestions, right? So like, "Hey, like we suggest maybe you should do this, or have you ever thought about doing it this way?" I would just make this a little tweak here. Not we're necessarily dictating to them that you want it done some way, because listen, you know, the great thing is like, we've been doing things for so long, you know, that, that we have a way that we want to see it, but it may not be the right way. Mm-hmm. And it may not always be the way that the people are doing things today. So that's why we're, you know, we're open to getting those ideas and like letting people say like, hey, have you ever thought about doing this? And you know, listen, sometimes some suggestions are, hey, you know what? We have tried that. This is what, this was what our result. If you think you can change that result, great. We're open to it. But this is where, you know, it may have failed before. Not that we're discouraging the idea, but we're just letting them know like, hey, we've done it in a way that it's not discouraging, but you know, they might say, oh, you know what? That makes sense. Okay. I didn't think about that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely spot on. And that's that culture of openness. And, and it's a really good example of, you know, when Pat brought me in to do my workshop with your team, it's not because you were a dysfunctional team. It doesn't just have to be for dysfunctional teams. You're already right. A high functioning, collaborative, amazing culture. And it's just a matter of what else, what can, more can we do, or how can we sharpen that saw? So it's a great, great example and a testament to that dedication you have to your team as a leadership group to make it really the best experience possible for those employees. And then that parlays out to the best experience possible for your fans and your customers and your partners. So Brian Ewicki, Vice President of Operations, Somerset Patriots, AA affiliate of the New York Yankees. Thank you so much for taking some time today on the Catalyzing Podcast. I'm excited for this season for you and your team, and looking forward to catching a game soon next few months.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And I'll give you a little plug too. I just, you know, if you guys want Ryan to come in and talk to your team like he did to ours, he's fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's definitely worth it. Even if you think you have a great functioning team, we do have a great functioning team. I fully believe that, but it was a great perk to bring Ryan in and kind of go through those exercises and actually make us think a little bit more, because you always can learn things. Like we, you know, you have to be in that mindset of like, you have to be able to learn things all the time. You can't just say, I know everything, because you don't, and we don't. So, yeah. And we appreciated it. So it was great. We had a great experience and appreciate our friendship.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you too as well. Thank you so much for that. All right. We'll talk again soon. I'll see you soon, and have a great day, and hopefully you don't get too much snow.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care. Let's do this. Are you ready?